And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome to No Dunks. I'm Tess, here with Skeets, Trey, Lee, and JD. Of course, we are here for part two of our top 75 guests in the history of this show. Part one was fun.
It was a blast.
I'm glad you said that.
I really enjoyed myself. I was like, oh yeah, we talked to that person. Oh yeah, that was a fun time.
Yeah, good, yeah. good. We're feeling it. Yeah, Lee shot around with Steph. Yannis gave me the business because I called him overrated. We had a Shaq Chuck moment. Actually, Shaq will be in part three. He's giving you a wedgie in part three.
Spoiler.
Lots to look forward to. But let's get into part two of our top 75 guests with our first 10. Roll it, JD.
First thought. There is a bit of a loophole here. I could just sit here and say absolutely nothing.
That's not you.
But yeah, that's not me. You've done a show way too long with me. I can't keep my mouth shut. So well played on that task. Second thought, as I speed up here.
Oh,
I have no idea why. Why am I rushing?
Got him.
We need a fifth starter, Fox. We need a fifth starter, man. We probably should have unbuttoned while he struggles to put on a shirt.
Buttons are tough.
Manning, what's going through your mind right now?
Number one. Holy s***. I'm sorry for the cuss words, but
we got bleeps.
Bleep me, you're gonna be bleeping out a lot.
Cherry bean bun. Cherry bean bun. Cherry bean bun. Cherry bean bun. Cherry bean bun.
Wow. What a pack of 10 that was.
No, it's going to be stuck in my head for weeks. Just got it out of my head.
The Jerry Greenberg theme. How did that come about? I guess it was just JD going through the music library and just finding that.
Well, wasn't there this weird, like, was it an app?
I found it on, I think, Fansince 09. It created the original, which was Ya Man's a Bird,
right.
The Monday Night Football theme song.
Yeah.
It was created with whatever the app was called, Diddy, I believe, D-I-T-T-Y, not to be confused with the rap mogul. But yeah, for whatever reason, Ya Man's a Bird, Jared Greenberg, they line up perfectly. So a banger.
That was a hit. Anytime we would have Greenberg on, you know, usually he'd be out of game, so we'd have him on like satellite and stuff like that. But once we had that theme song, like, people were demanding it.
Yeah,
like,
he was demanding it.
He was. Yeah. You're right. That's a good point, and it's I can see why it's still so catchy.
Our best theme song of anyone. We'll get to some more here as our top 75 go on in part three, but that one really stands out. That was a great one. On the music tip, that Sir Foster pick and pay off. He came down, the Hawks organist came into our studio and played music every time you spoke.
Yeah, so that was the payoff. Anytime I spoke,
yeah, it's to throw just, you off. You know, yeah. He's so good down at the Hawks game. Dan, 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 dan. Like every time.
Well, you notice there in the clip, like I did start speeding up. Yeah. He's like, he's speeding it up, and I'm like getting anxious. That's a very
I loved how he got into it so much. You see you there, and he's like really trying to like put you off. And by the way, you look like you're about 6 years old in that clip.
Yeah,
there, too.
Much younger, the young boy.
Clean skeets.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Holy
JD
moly.
Was ready for this. Absolutely.
Yeah, oh man, I don't think I have that shirt anymore either. I gained some pounds in the upper body too. It's getting a little too tight. My favorite thing with the Sir Foster payoff though is like we basically have like a running inside joke from him being on the show, and it's a weird one, but this is the point of this, right? To peel back the curtain.
Yes, absolutely.
To let our fans know. So anytime we're about to do a show, about to go live for, you know, here in the Classic Factory or when we were the starters on NBA TV, if you have to go piss before the show,
yes,
we call that a Sir Foster.
Yes.
And the reason
yes.
is only because right before we were about to go live with Sir Foster doing the, you know, tinkling the ivory is what he did. The tinkling the porcelain. He had to like take. He was like, "We're about to go live." He's like, "I gotta go to the bathroom. Like, I gotta go to the restroom real quick."
Yeah.
And did, and it was fine. And got back in time, but for some reason we call it taking a Sir Foster.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And it extends to anywhere now. Like before you catch a flight, it's like, oh, I got a Sir Foster.
I got a Sir Foster.
The last second tinkling of the porcelain.
It's actually it's a nicer way to say it, because I always say, and my wife gets upset with me, Nora gets mad when I always say, like, oh, I got to take a piss.
Yeah.
She hates that. She's like, don't say that out loud. Like, so I gotta take a Sir Foster. Yeah.
She knows what a Sir Foster is.
Absolutely.
When I was in England doing the show from my brother's apartment, I said to him, I just got to go do a Sir Foster. And I told him about it. Now, he uses that term with his friends.
See, it's going to spread. I'm telling you.
It sounds British, too. Yeah. I mean, it's the most proper way of going
to. He was knighted. Yeah, but he had to go right before he got his knighted.
Well, yeah, he was locked in. He had his headphones in.
Right.
And I remember, it was 2 minutes before
we were
time.
Just about to go live. Yeah. Like, it was really close.
Maybe he didn't think it was live.
Maybe not, because I remember we were like, are you going to be able to get back in time? Yeah. Like, but he did, and he killed it. He's the best, and we see him down, obviously, at the Hawks game. And like, I guess it shouldn't be a surprise that he could do it so well on live television to play the piano whenever I was talking, because that's what he's doing during an NBA game. Like, he has to play to the action and stuff like that. So,
but
it was great.
But he was so good.
Oh, he was. He was.
I thought it was a little surprising. We actually have another clip. Let's roll it, JD.
I know it's supposed to undermine me.
Look at that.
I know it's supposed to, like, get me off my game. But what if it just makes everything I say sound awesome?
Very inspirational.
Sounds awesome. Sounds awesome. It's the moving around with the ball skills, and it's just going to take a little while. What about Russell Westbrook? That was sort of the little. It's really phenomenal stuff. But let's move on. More basketball games to talk about here last night.
Sir Foster, are you cool coming down every show?
This feels so good.
Thumbs up. What a pro,
it's
man.
It's like when Ross Geller and Friends gets unleashes his tunes and they all hate him, but he was just like getting so into it like that. Bit of a Friends reference. I don't know if you remember.
I can't believe we didn't like take that payoff and then run with it for another one and have him play the saxophone during a show where we were talking. That would be more difficult
to
yell over a saxophone. Because he can play that instrument, right? For sure. Mm-hmm. He probably can play every instrument.
Let's get him in the Classic Factory and see what he brings down.
Just
down the street.
Yeah. Get him and Bones. Bones can be on the guitar and jam.
Just jam. Yeah. Cool.
One moment I had forgotten about was the deer and fox moment we showed there.
Yeah.
We handed several of our Summer League guest shirts, if I do remember correctly.
I don't know.
I don't remember those ones.
We definitely gave him cakes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And maybe that was a one of one because it went so poorly. We handed him a shirt that was fully buttoned up and was very difficult to unbutton.
Yeah.
It's cringeworthy watching it back that he has to sit there. He's a very smiley guy. He's very happy and he smiles through it, shockingly. But he's like, struggling because they're
why
there
were
these,
we
like,
giving it to him?
It said on the lower third, how much would it cost for you to wear this starter shirt?
I don't know. We were just making fun of the shirts that we were wearing, I guess.
They were, those were some shirts,
Those were the mechanic shirts,
Shirts,
yes.
Those I don't remember. I remember the yellows, I remember other variations. don't remember those bright blues.
The blues, yeah.
Yeah.
If you could track one of those down, it'd be great for worst shirt week.
All of those would be week long.
That was every summer league week we were there.
I remember there's a fan, I won't reveal who it is right now, who always wanted my mechanic shirt at the end of summer league. I sent him a few.
Yeah, all right. What are you going to do with them? Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, yep, great.
All right.
See if he's got a blue one.
Yeah.
I like that we can't name this person.
Cannot say it.
No.
Definitely.
Lots of great Summer League moments, great All-Star moments. We had Pau and Marc Gasol there together. We interviewed them in New York City together. Mm-hmm. I remember, Trey, you had a pre-show conversation with Marc Gasol, or is that a post-show conversation? Do you remember
I think
that?
He had just had a daughter not too long before, and I remember there was a picture going around of Marc Gasol, like, sitting in an anthropology, just, like, waiting, just waiting in an anthropology. That was, like, the most relatable thing I've ever seen. So, yeah, you know, I at the time, Isla would have been, like, 4 months old. So, you know, just a little classic dad chats. Mm. Obviously, he's a family man. Him and Pau up there rearranging our chairs for us in between commercial breaks. Those are good guys.
Yeah, here's another relatable moment. We'll show you a clip from the Gasols. This is relatable for you guys. Here's a clip, Mark and Pau Gasol.
Oh, interesting.
Mark's at it. Mark's at it.
What do we got?
Pau, turn it around. Being late. Being late.
It's word for word.
Wow. Why are you always late?
I'm not always late. I'm always late. I'm sometimes late.
We were supposed to have you on the show that
This is one of the times that I've been late.
Yes, we were waiting for them, and they happened to be late. And Mark, not happy with Pau. Not happy with Pau that he's always late. That was a great in sync moment. You see them turn their heads together. Yeah. NBA in sync. That was great. Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool that we had them on at the same time. Because they made history that weekend,
right?
Obviously, doing the jump ball in the All-Star game. Pretty neat.
Yeah. Yes. We've had some moments. You have been in the locker room. Probably one of your most cherished moments doing the starters.
No doubt,
for the Cavs.
Game 7, 2016. My second child, Ada, was due to be born a few days before, and Laura said, she'd be fine. Just fly across country. And she was right. And it was totally worth it. Hanging in the locker room was incredibly fun. Talking to all the guys, seeing how surprisingly excited they were to see somebody from the starters, which I thought was super cool. And there was a great moment with Channing Frye where we actually found out the last time J.R. Smith was wearing his shirt. Take a look.
What's your feeling right now?
What's your feeling right now, boy?
I'm feeling great. We got you carded up here, Channing.
No, you don't.
And we're out.
What happened to your shirt, though, Channing?
Gave it away.
Oh, okay.
So what's up for the rest of the night? You gonna hop in that Uber pool and just jet around here in Oakland?
Hell no! I don't know where we going. But we not staying in Oakland, I'm gonna tell you that, or San Francisco. I know Cleveland's gonna be popping when we get back.
That's for sure.
What?
He was having a great time. I know there's some moments in that that set of clips where he's shirt off, arm around me. That's a tall guy. Like, you don't think of Channing Frye as a 7-footer, but I was nose to pit with him. But respect. The funny thing, though, is that J.R. Smith clip, people pulled that out much later because, like, that whole summer, right, he was never wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, he found out to not wear a shirt from Channing Frye. He's like, hey, where's your shirt go? I don't know. All right, fine. I'll pop mine off. Let's go.
And then the next layer is that Channing Frye realized he just gave away his shirt like Lee gave away his shirt. After summer.
Might have been the same guy.
That's the
same
link. Guy. Yeah, maybe it is, for all we know. Yeah, that's, I'm always like, I'm not jealous is not the right word, but to me, when you see any of these clips of you guys anytime in the locker room, especially after a title, and they're just like the happiest they could be, and they're putting back beers, and they're like, oh, it's just the best.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool. And it's like, on top of that, that they obviously recognize who you were and stuff like that in the show.
Yeah.
NBA TV is on a lot around NBA arenas, no doubt about it. So when you're on at that 6 o'clock time slot, they got nothing to do.
Right before the game, guys are getting taped up and stuff, doing
captive
stretches.
Audience.
Yep. Yeah, there were several guys complimenting the show in your clip there. Did you find it hard to criticize guys after they said, hey, man, I love the show? Because I would. I mean, you like me? Like, can you? I would have it pretty difficult for the next year. I'd give it a year and then I could start, you know.
Oh yeah, I'm like still the biggest Kyrie Irving fan in the world.
Gotta do it.
Yeah, do whatever you want, buddy. He was super nice to me.
Exactly.
All the rest of the media is pawns, not us.
One last thing I wanted to highlight. in that 10 pack that JD, the little montage of our 10 guests there, was a clip of me and Rip Hamilton at a flat top in a kitchen, totally staged shot of a huge flame coming at myself, Rip Hamilton, and Corbren Maxwell also in that clip.
Wow.
Yeah, really crew. Strange. We were in London. Now, I that was very funny. We also had him on the show, so it wasn't a total force because Rip was in our studio.
Oh, right.
A little bit later, he didn't like that I brought up that LeBron had 25 straight against him in the Pistons in 2007, but I didn't want to highlight that. I also want to highlight I happened to be having tea a little bit later with John Amici, Brian Scalabrine,
yep.
Dikembe Mutombo, and Andre Miller, and I didn't have a mic on. And this is a clip of the director coming in, cutting it, and Andre Miller is hilarious. Have a watch.
I would like to welcome Taz from the Starters to our afternoon tea.
Thank you so much.
Sorry. Actually, I have that mic.
I didn't realize Taz is on the mic.
Bam, Taz.
It's a fine Taz.
Yeah, you can.
You know the rules, Taz.
You don't think of Andre Miller as a hilarious
actor.
No,
man. Did we play that in the show or something?
Yeah
we did.
Oh, we did. There was a medley.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a quick medley because it was a quick tea session that we had that John Amici was hosting that I happened to jump into with Brian Scalabrine. I had no idea. I just got off a red-eye flight. Hey, you're having tea with John Amici, Brian Scalabrine. It was just...
You're not the host in it, are you?
No, John Amici
is. That's the most fascinating part to me.
Just right. A guest.
It would make way more sense if, like, Taz was the host with all these former NBA players, but, like, yeah, you're just suddenly there.
It's the Brit.
John Amici hosting all of his NBA legends that were there for the game in London in 2018. And
you're a legend.
It was a, hey, this guy is here for NBA TV, put him in, but don't give him a mic. Yeah. So that was
hilarious. Yeah, that's what one of my, like, a sneaky favorite part of that clip is, like, the producer or somebody realizes you don't have a mic, and it feels like you're like, you knew you didn't have
a mic
on. You're like, yeah, I don't have a mic, like, right away.
Was that the plan? Because
yeah.
I could understand if you just want to hear Dikembe Mutombo talk, and
right.
Maybe I'm just a seat filler here.
You're just a seat filler. Somebody's going to drink this tea. That was a fun trip, though, overall, right? Going over to
amazing.
England to watch a game, yeah.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. It was great.
And you said the fire, like, little clip there with Rip Hamilton, that was, like, just planned?
It was staged, yeah.
Staged?
Yeah.
Wow. So why? Just to get a cool reaction?
Just
to
get a shot.
Wow.
Yeah, we used it. I think we used it 3 times that week in our shows. We used it a lot.
Did it make the meme team? It probably did. Number 4.
Definitely made a show opening.
I love it.
That's a great shot.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
I think I saw Gordon Ramsay right after that. What a moment for me.
Wow.
Exactly.
Guy Fieri and Gordon Ramsay. Mm.
Are there
multiple takes, do you think, of the reactions? Or do you nail out the first one?
I think
through?
We killed it. Rip killed it. And Rip and Cornbread Maxwell made a beef Wellington that morning. And
listen to what you're saying.
I know. And then Rip was on our show years later. And we were talking about the beef Wellington that he went home and tried to recreate the beef Wellington.
Oh, wow.
And it was too difficult.
It's a tough one, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, it's tough, right?
Well, it's tough to cook, yeah. Yeah, you got to get the pastry around the beef and then get it right. And yeah, you got to be high level chef, I think, to nail that.
Yeah, it's like a landmark if you're a chef, right? To be able to make a beef Wellington.
It's one of the tests. I think it's a test.
Went home. He's like, man, that was good. I wonder if I could do that at home.
It was damn good. In England.
Yeah.
It was amazing because it was Gordon Ramsay's restaurant, but he couldn't recreate it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
Did when the flame kicked up on that stage shot, did Cornbread get burnt a little bit? Or?
Very well done. All right. We will get to our next 10 after this break. One of the clips is Ernie Johnson welcoming the Starters to the basketball world in a hilarious fashion. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone?
Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, how excited are you guys that the Starters have become the newest members of the NBA TV family?
Poutine.
There it is. Yes. That's right. There it is.
And I must confess, I said it the wrong way one time to my mother-in-law. So I learned to make sure
it's poutine. It's poutine. Yeah.
That was a big shot.
Yeah, it was a huge shot, some would say.
Man, I meditated on that, of being in that type moment and taking advantage of it. But I'm just glad it went in and I could celebrate.
The starter. Yeah, that's right. Come
on. I know, his beard is crazy. Shout out to your team, too, the Starters, man. Real talk, I love your show.
Kyrie's good in our books.
That's right.
I like that he said he meditated on that shot. Mm. I don't remember him saying it in that clip.
Yeah, I don't remember that either. But now, like, I mean, 6 years after the fact, I'm like, he probably did meditate on that.
100%.
No doubt about that. Also, what a compliment. Oh, this beard is brazy. good times, good times.
Oh, there's some good stuff in that package there. Andre Iguodala as well. He basically learned about us not being on NBA TV anymore, that we were let go. Mm. And then he said, oh, I'm sorry to hear about you guys leaving the network. If I start a network, I'll bring you guys on.
Right.
Very good. Very good moment.
Yeah, I was super nervous for that interview because I think Lee had had a prickly interaction with him at a previous final stop at some point, and then he was super nice about it. That being said, he hasn't retired yet, so
he's still waiting for the call.
Yeah,
we can take him up on that. Yeah. We have changed jobs, but he hasn't started a network
yet. He hasn't started a network yet either.
He's got time. He's got time. You said you were like a little nervous though, but I mean, it's his demeanor too, right?
Exactly, his demeanor just in general. He's like a sarcastic guy in general. So whatever. We finished the interview. He's very nice about how everything ended at NBA TV, and then afterwards he's like, I'm not that bad of a guy, right? However, it had gotten back to him that I was a little nervous and was like asking around, like, ooh, is he going to be okay with this? Is he trying to talk to me? It was fine. It was great. It was very funny.
He's a cool dude. Yeah, so that was towards the end of our run at NBA TV, at the beginning of our run. Let's play the whole clip. This is Ernie Johnson and a lot of legends sitting around him welcoming us to the NBA TV world.
Hey, how excited are you guys that the Starters have become the newest members of the NBA TV family?
What's the starters?
What's the starters, Ernie?
They're out of Canada, right?
It's EJ Skates and Taj Mahal or something like that.
Oh, the old basketball. You can't say that, copyright.
The basketball.
So you're familiar with them?
I'm not familiar with them.
I don't know who they are either. What other star? I mean, come on. What are we talking about? No respect.
Well, I never lived.
From Bahamas, right, Rick?
Yeah, I'm from Bahamas.
What's that got to do with Canada?
I think our 6 years peaked right there.
Yeah,
day
so
one.
Too.
What a spot.
Yeah. That was really good.
How do you think they film that? Do they tell everybody? Like, Chuck doesn't really actually know what's going on, probably, right?
Doubt it.
I think he's like legit reacting to what are we talking about?
Are. Yeah. They all are.
They it's, all
but,
are?
But what about Rick Fox?
They fed Fox the line. They had to.
I don't think they did. I think they only told Ernie literally 2 seconds before in his ear. It was Jeremy. Jeremy Levin. Yeah, he.
But there's no way Rick Fox said.
Yeah.
The basketball. Oh, can't say it. That's copyright.
He may have.
I think he did not know the copyright issues.
No chance.
He did.
Come on. We wrote a script for it, guys.
There's no way he knew the Lou Adler fact that Lou Adler had the right to the basketball joke.
Maybe he's in on the legal side.
I think it's a bit of both. I think Trey is Charles right. There definitely was a script, but there was many of those guys sitting there had no clue what the hell they were recording and were just reacting in real time, like, what are we talking about? Who are we talking about? And of course, Ernie's killing it with the EJ skates and we wrote all that. But it's funnier than I remember. The shots of just guys sitting there.
Totally.
I love that.
Yeah. they would have known. Don't worry about saying anything to Charles. Let his natural reaction take over, Kenny. But they needed to have at least one person in on it.
And so they gave Rick Fox the actor
exactly,
of the group.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can tell Rick, he delivered the lie beautifully there. So. Yeah.
And he's Canadian. He was the only one. I don't think anybody else.
I'm going to stand by him. Listen. First of all, Rick Fox is the most connected Hollywood person in that room.
Mm-hmm. So nothing more Hollywood than
and
that.
Go on.
I'm sure that he knew that we were coming on. Like, of all of those guys in that room, he knew that we were coming on.
All the guys in the room,
the guy was on Jake and Amir. He knew about us for sure.
We definitely had a few hits when we were working at the Score with NBA TV. So it's not like some of those guys in the studio who were working at the NBA TV desk doing the nightly show. Saw our stuff.
That's where the classic "What About Some Raptor News" came from. That was Kenny Smith.
Yeah. But come on, the basketball Jones copyright can't say that.
He's an actor. I will push back. I don't remember us writing that line. That part.
I don't write. Definitely didn't.
Yeah.
Or the EJ skates and Taj Mahal. I don't remember that.
We did that.
That was written.
We did that
part.
I mean, it's natural.
Yeah. Anything we did with Ernie was basically gold.
Bangers.
Like, we went, 3 for 3, 4 for 4? Like, any sort of little funny video we ever did with him, be it that, and we had never even met the guy up until that point. And then the Red Zone, NBA Red Zone was hilarious. And then I've forgotten about the one where, I guess it was because Players Only started getting a broadcast, and the joke was going to be that Ernie was out of a job now, because he's not a former player, and it's going to all of them. And so then he was sliding over in the NBA TV rankings to then do our show, and then I was out of a job, and we did that funny little video. So he just was so hilarious.
He's great.
Delivering the line. So it's great.
Pro's pro, baby.
He's a goat for a reason. Yep.
One other tie-in. JD's favorite guest, Trey Skeets. You loved Wendell Holland being on our show.
Yeah.
Former Survivor contestant. No video of him because that was in a no video zone of our show. Ty and we recently got this desk that we're sitting at right now, made by the hands of Wendell Holland and his Beeve company. So it's all tied in together.
I got to ask the Survivor fans here, the group. Has anybody looked for a hidden immunity idol within the desk yet?
I've been over that thing. In the middle of the when everyone's sleeping, of course, I've just put I've made a fake body of myself in my bed, and then I snuck down here so I wouldn't be found out. But
that'd be amazing.
Haven't found anything yet.
I
didn't check the front. You never know.
If you unscrew this, it might be tucked away.
You gotta check everything.
Yeah,
that is pretty funny though that someone that won Survivor came on our show for one. That was cool, and then two made our desk that we're sitting at here. It's awesome.
One other thing I wanted to bring up: Grant Hill, multiple time guest on our show. I believe multiple times told that story about the poutine as well,
right?
Which
gotta be careful.
Gotta be careful with Tamia's parents,
right? He didn't know how to pronounce it at first. Said poutine.
Which I guess he did.
To his mother-in-law.
Can I get some of that tasty poutine? Why don't you say that to your mother-in-law?
5 seconds. Very fun.
That's great. And I love when we're watching back the package of it and we see Bernard King explaining how most people, when they spin on their toes.
Yeah.
But there's less friction if you spin on your heels.
Yeah. Hey, so just do this for me. Just do this for me. Would you
like to feel that? And I think we're all like,
oh, we're like, oh yeah.
You can feel it. You can feel the friction, the extra friction. But I don't know. Around my house now, when I got on like a pair of socks or something, I love to spin on my heel and I just like, just keep going.
You go faster. Woo! He's right.
He's right.
He's less control, though. Less control.
Less control.
Yeah.
Less control.
Yeah. Good point. You're a little quicker, but you're
can't stop.
Just keep spinning and spinning and spinning.
It, yeah.
Do you ever use it in your pickup runs? The old Bernard King spin there on
no,
the
I'm not posting up a whole lot in my pickup runs now. I'm three-point line to three-point line, but you know, I'd like to try it out just to see.
We should do a video where we just test
exactly.
it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
It's like those, what was that show on ESPN? Like Sports Science or something like that? Yeah. We can like time it, like how quick we can get our turnaround jumpers off, spinning on our heels to our toes. Yeah.
That was a good show.
It was a great show.
Jason Capone got a shot off in .22, I think.
Crazy stuff.
I remember that. Yeah.
One other thing you remember is Buddy Hield at Summer League throwing a cake into the crowd.
Legendary moment in
I
my
can't
mind.
Believe this happened. I still can't believe this happened. Let's roll it, JD.
We got a special gift for you here.
We give everyone a cake.
Yeah. Oh, look at this cake.
Y'all want some? Yeah. Give it to them. I like the
gummy bears on there for you. Here, let's show it on there for the camera.
Gummy bears.
Snacking got on buckets on there bears. For you.
Buddy bucket.
Buddy buckets.
Y'all want some cake for real?
Chuck it.
No. Do it.
They would hate me.
He doesn't want to give up those gummy bears.
They're eating it.
I didn't remember that we really had to convince him to do it much. In my head, I thought it was like, he was like, should I throw it? And we're like, probably like, yeah. And then he just chucked it. But it took some convincing.
Oh, yeah. You guys had to talk him into it. It was basically everybody from Buddy Hield over wanted him to throw it. And then him and the guy right behind him. Were, the guy behind him's like,
No.
Throw it that way. Throw it that way.
And that was, we always gave a cake to any of the people that came on our show in Summer League. But he was like really early on, right?
I think so.
Like, we hadn't given out that many cakes is my point. It wasn't like the 40th cake and finally somebody threw it. I feel like it happened somewhat early in the run.
Well, he was like third season, though, wasn't he?
Oh, was he?
Yeah, really? He was later on in the season, but it was definitely early in the run that year.
Oh, okay, maybe that's him.
I like how he says, you guys want some cake? And then he just starts picking gummy bears for himself or gummy worms or whatever they were on that cake.
I also love you. You're like, hey, we got to see the cake on camera. You're like trying to take it from him, trying to get the angle. Hey, it says Buddy Buckets on it. Hey.
Yeah, that was the fun part, coming up with what to put on there, wasn't it? You know?
Yeah, well, it was fun for the first couple of years. Yeah. We started running out of things to put. What was the worst thing we put on a cake?
L.A. Cakers.
Is that Julius Randle?
Brilliant.
L.A. Cakers is good. I was going to say Jabari Parker number two.
Buckaroo. Didn't know what to put on.
I like that one. Yeah, it was always fun trying to get the angle of the camera.
Right.
Start sliding off the thing.
Yeah, not easy.
How much money do you think was spent / wasted on cakes at Summer League?
Well, $20 each.
Yeah, not cheap.
That's it. Yeah. I thought they'd be more.
No, they're
simple sheet
slab
cakes.
Slab cakes that you get at Costco or whatever.
A few hundred bucks.
No, I shouldn't say like all were wasted, because some of them,
some of the players
would take them to their family or to like their teammates, and they would just dig in a little bit.
These are like elite athletes who would be like, I don't need sugar or whatever. Mm-hmm. Buddy wanted those gummy worms.
Yeah. Someone was like that. They were like, they weren't touching. I can't remember who it was, but I remember Julius Randle got upset. I think it was you, like, went to touch, and he's like, get your hands off me.
I could have sworn Brandon Ingram ate some. Like, he dug in because he said, I'm a little too skinny. You got to pack on.
Yeah. That sounds familiar.
Couldn't find a clip, though.
Oh, tough. Yeah. It's out there somewhere.
It might have happened off camera, I think.
I think so. Well, one thing that did happen on camera was a very bizarre moment with our friend Kristen Leto. We'll get to that after the break, as well as the man who termed the coin, what? Who coined the term wedgie. Stay tuned.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply. And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
What do you think? Can I get 20?
I think you got 20 in you for sure. Good luck, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Kyle. Appreciate it, man.
You got it.
Here goes. 20. Kyle thinks I can do it. I think I can.
21.
Do it.
He's got 21.
21.
Come on.
All right.
MVP. MVP.
MVP. MVP.
You coined the term wedgie. Do you remember when you first used it, if you heard it from somebody else?
No, it just happened one day. The ball got caught between the rim and the board, and I said, it's a wedgie.
Wedgie.
It just popped out of my mouth, like most things, without any thought at all. Just something crazy comes out of my mouth. And if people start repeating it back to me, I think, well, I guess that kind of works, so I'll use it again. And we haven't had one in a while. I'm kind of in remorse. I need a wedgie pretty badly.
I feel like we should have to hold our mics like this for this segment in honor of Ralph Lawler. But
the great Ralph Lawler. He says that he made that term up.
Just freestyled it.
I believe him.
I believe him, too. And I believe him because of how passionate he was. I asked him another question about it. I think we were at the Four Seasons Hotel.
Swanky.
Yeah. Well, the Clippers were staying there. I wasn't. I took a cab. It took a while. Anyways, he was so passionate about it. JD, can we roll that clip?
It's like you're the fifth starter. We're always in remorse when we don't have Wedgie. You'd fit right in on the show. Do you distinguish between different types of wedgies, let's say like a DeAndre Jordan alley-oop wedgie? I mean he's had some special ones. You know, there's some of those that are just lightly get tucked in there or really jam in there. Do you change your call depending on the wedgie?
No, it just whatever comes out of my mouth. I think a wedgie is a wedgie. You know, if you, everybody knows a good wedgie when they have one.
It's a million great lines in this. Yeah.
I know. I kind of, you know, squeezed him in, no pun intended, into the guest list because I didn't intend that because he wasn't in our studio. You know,
right.
He wasn't necessarily a guest. You guys didn't get to talk to him. But it was 2 minutes of gold. And it's the most infamous thing that we're known for in the NBA universe, the wedgie. And I do believe that he is the man that came up with that term. So I had to get in Ralph Lawler. Great on the call.
So much content, merchandise we've got out of it. It's just, a wedgie.
Hey, don't say that too much. I mean, he may want a little cut of this. Yeah. What do you mean? We don't sell any shirts. Say wedgie on it.
One thing that I think that you've gotten out of this show, Lee, is a genuine friendship with Kyle Korver. Can I say that?
I think so, yeah.
I think so,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. We live near each other. We've bumped into each other at a few social gatherings.
Oh.
We've talked some dad stuff, right. You know. But we've also talked some three-pointers, which is where it started, which was great, you know, because he was my first coach ever to try to win the three-point, or, you know, to score 20 points in the three-point shootout.
My first coach. You've had multiple coaches.
I was going to say, he came before Curry, though.
That's right. Right. Yeah, because he was down here, so the access was a little bit easier.
Yeah, I understand why.
Yeah. he's great though. Yeah, I've seen him sometimes even in the morning, like he's wound down the window. Hey, buddy. I'm like, hey.
You ever blow corporate kisses to him?
Nah, probably would look a little bit weird if I was to start blowing kisses to another grown man. But, you know.
And you unfortunately never came through with the 20 after Coach Korver was helping you.
No, 19 twice is the closest I've gotten. So
he said 21, actually.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you seem taken aback when he said it. You're like, oh. On the clip, you're like, oh, okay, 20s. Now we're going 21. Okay.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, during that shootout, I think I hit like my first like three or four shots with him too. It's kind of like, maybe I don't need help. I don't know.
Kristen Ludlow, probably the fifth starter. I mean, Brent Berry was on our show a ton. Kristen was pretty regular on our show. Mm-hmm. I wanted to highlight this because I don't know if you guys remember this. It was a bizarre moment. I think the most bizarre moment in the history of our show.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. That's saying something.
I know. We've had pickles on our show, grown men dressed as pickles. What's another wild
man
one?
Picked me up and ripped my underwear off. Yeah, I mean, that's very weird. Yeah,
that's great. Can't wait to see that in part three. This one, it just came out of nowhere. Kristen's at a Boston Celtics game. She's doing a hit with us via satellite. And in comes Kelly from the Boston Tea Party Museum. And we're going to show you part of the clip. But it goes on and on and on. And we've got to get to commercial, Kelly. We've got to get to commercial. I know there was a panic in the studio. JD, roll Kristen and Kelly.
I emailed the Celtics and asked, could I get Kelly for the show? There must have been some sort of communication error because Olenek's out here shooting around, and they sent my friend Kelly instead.
Oh!
This is Kelly.
Hello.
The Boston
Hi, Kelly.
Tea Party Museum, Kelly. A big, they're playing the colonial music for you. Yeah. It's a big week for you.
Hey, it's a huge week for us. Now, here we are in Boston, of course, with the historic Boston Celtics 17 championships. I know, that's huge, but that is not the only historic thing happening here in Boston. Tomorrow is the 242nd anniversary of the Boston Tea Party. And we are celebrating with a full-scale reenactment of the Tea Party. We march through the streets of Boston to the sound of the fife and drum. Then we go down to the waterfront where we will be dumping real East India Company tea into Boston Harbor and be involved in
Kelly, how will the Celtics stop LeBron James?
Sorry, one more time.
They want to know how the Celtics plan to stop LeBron James. You and your friends learned how to stop the King.
That's
so.
True, yeah. So I would say to stop the King, you have to form an organized protest.
Last question here. We started our show in Canada. We moved from there. Do you look down upon us because we're part of the Commonwealth?
A little bit, right?
Your piece was definitely not working.
Yeah, I don't think so. It just keeps going. I can't hear them.
I don't know what else there is to say about that.
I'd forgotten about that clip. Yeah.
Well, I think Skeets nailed it. Wow.
They're handing out real East India tea.
Yeah. I'm literally shaking my head at one point. I can hear, like, rewatching that, I can hear Matt Austin in our ears.
Yeah, yeah.
So ask her about the game. Tell her we gotta go to commercial. Somebody take it back to the studio. I can hear it.
But we keep asking her questions.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, come on, man. It was the 242nd anniversary of the Boston Tea Party. Yeah, you have to commemorate it.
The protest, the King line, that was good.
Yeah.
One other thing that was good. Zach LaVine, obviously an incredible dunker. He rated one of your dunks, Lee. Let's take a watch.
We're going to show you one from Lee, the cupcake dunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we go. Doing some yoga. And blowing up. No.
It was those candles, you know, that you can't blow out. That's what it was. I think they set me up.
Look at Ellis. E-dog.
See, I like the attempt at the end with the blowing out the candle. That's a five.
Yeah.
Creativity
at the end. Sticking with your dunk.
That's all right.
Wow. Even five was generous, I think, with that score. I couldn't believe how hard hard it was to actually get up there and get close enough to blow it out. I couldn't do it. It was crazy. It was only on an 8-foot hoop, too.
I forgot in Summer League you had the
big sideburns. The big sideburns. I don't know why we were growing those. But,
we?
We as a group decided I was going to grow them. I don't remember why.
But. I don't remember us as a group deciding to do that. I think you were just like, I'm growing my sideburns.
Maybe. It's sort of like.
And you were like, what do you guys think? And we're like, okay, whatever you want, man.
Because that wasn't even the year we dressed up as Elvis, was it?
I mean,
that would make a little more sense.
Maybe.
If you were going out your sideburns for the grand finale of us dressing up as Elvis, but I don't think so.
Nah, I don't know. I can't remember. But I remember the cupcake. The idea was great. I was like, yep, I'm going to do this. And then I was like, oh my God. I can't even get close to it.
I can't believe you thought you would be able to do it. Like, what
on an
8-foot
rim,
about?
You sort of think, you know, I'll be able to get right up to the rim and like, but.
I don't think that, that I can jump and get my head to an 8-foot rim. You did eventually get it blown out, though. It just was a 2-step process.
Did you actually blow it out, or did the candle like get
just
down close to the frosting? That's what I thought.
Maybe. Yeah. No,
that was totally that dunk. That was staged. I think Matty O might have been on a ladder and blew it out. Because you definitely didn't do it.
Well, I think that was the same year that I jumped over Matt to the side to dunk
him. Yeah, jumped over him. Just went around him. Oh, at least the dunk contest got better. Year after year, I think it progressed.
That was year two. Yeah. Year one, I was pretty bad. Year two, Lee didn't have his best. Year three, it all came together.
Yeah, year three was the most exciting competition. Yeah.
Well, maybe it'll all come together in part three of our three-part series here of our top 75 guests. Make sure you check out the other two parts. And to take us out, we can never get enough of people telling us that they love us. So here's Tristan Thompson.
Enjoy myself. I'm a champion. Enjoy myself. Oh, there it is. Thank you, guys. The starter is Asano. Thank you, guys. I watch y'all, too. Y'all do a great job. I like that you ran the treadmill for a whole show. It's pretty amazing.
Thank you.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.